Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
What's up? It's your boy KFC. This is KFC Radio, episode 176. I got my man Feidelberg to my left. I got Clem to my right. Two guys who could not spend their Saturdays in more polar opposite directions. Feidelberg is living his Saturdays are for the boys fucking fantasy life every weekend. While Clem usually spends his Saturdays at the grocery store shopping for his family. Clem, I'm here to save you, my man. Boxed.com. You're not going to spend any more time in the grocery store. You're not going to spend any more precious Saturdays are for the boys moments pushing that cart up and down the aisle. And the best part is they've got everything you could need, from snacks to toiletries to baby stuff to anything you need around the house for cleaning, ordered on bulk, delivered right to you at a cheap cost. I'm looking at the Frito-Lay sweet and salty mixed pack, Clem. 50 count for $21. You get Fritos, you get Lay's, you get Smart Food, you get Rolled Gold, you get it all. I mean, listen, if you're lazy like us, you like snacks, you like Easy Mac, I'm looking at Irish Spring Sport, that's the soap I use, pretty much all the stuff that everybody uses from a day-to-day basis, Boxed.com has you covered. Right now, you go make your order and use the promo code KFC, you will get 20% off your first order, which is a diesel discount. I know that Mrs. Clem will appreciate that, and you'll get free shipping on that order. So, go to Boxed.com, use the promo code KFC, and get all your snacks, food, toiletries, and cleaning stuff delivered right to your house. Clem, filling in for the Big Cat once again. How are we doing, pal?
Doing good. I love buying bulk. Going to Costco, we put everything like in the boxes, so it's like Tetris. So I look forward to actually going to Boxed.com and getting those boxes and doing the same shit in my like pantry or whatever. So I appreciate that.
Fights, when you hear someone say that they love going to Costco to arrange the boxes like Tetris, what's the first thing that goes through your head?
I'm not a hater, man. I like Tetris. I like to do different things more, but Tetris with mac and cheese boxes can be good, I guess.
It's like I'm you're just saying like, oh, I'm sorry, Clem. I'm sorry for that. That is your life now.
Well, I'm not the guy that's going to come out and say you're an idiot. That's not me. You know, you made your life choices and you're happy with them. That's good.
Well, nope. We made our life choices. Whether or not we're happy with them is a whole different discussion. But yeah. Yeah, how are your Saturdays for the boys like streak going? Because I feel like it started out what 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, probably 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, right away when we saw that tweet on the Friday night about the old sailor in the bar, everyone who saw it on Twitter right away was like, "I don't know why, but this is like the funniest phrase ever." So people,
dude, I woke up with that thing had 2,000 favorites when I woke up. I was like, "What the fuck happened last night? Like, why is this so popular?"
Right, I have no idea why. It's one of those things. Like, it's almost like when I laughed at the damn Daniel video. Like, I don't know why, but it just hit you and it was funny. So people jumped on right away. But week by week, this thing is snowballing, and now I feel like your fourth week in. I mean, you're leading a goddamn revolution on Saturdays, John. You have to, like...
I got something big this
yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you got to bring the heat. I don't know how you can top your dark and stormy chug, your skydiving, your dancing around in your cowboy hats for the boys. You're going to have to bring the noise this week.
I know. I'm nervous. It's kind of one of those things where, like you said, it keeps escalating, and at some point... it's going to be like, I have to kill a girl. And that's like where I just have to run around the street and like stab a girl. And be like, for the boys!
Oh, man. I mean, this week, yesterday, actually, well, 2 days ago, well, by the time you listen to this, it was the ESPYs night, which is like the one night of the year that there's no sports on and the ESPYs sucks. So I was saying that Wednesday is for the girls. That's the one day of the year that you should just bite the bullet. Go to dinner with your wife, watch a Real Housewives marathon, whatever it is she likes to get into, because there's not any sports on, there's not much good on. Although then I realized the Mr. Robot premiere was on, so I was like, ah, all right, fuck it, go back to hating your girls. But the point being that we gave them the one Wednesday of the year, July, whatever, middle of July every year, that's what the girls get, and the rest for the boys.
Molly was like, what the hell, Wednesday? And you're like, Let's be clear, Molly. It's not Wednesday. It's tonight.
And then she goes, there's nothing even good on TV tonight. I was like, yes, Molly. That is the point. That's why we're giving you this day. Try to keep up, Molly.
My favorite part about Saturdays Are for the Boys is that there is like a random old salty man who's responsible for this revolution and has no idea.
No clue, man. You should actually track him down. Maybe like Labor Day, you should just go up to him and be like, Saturdays Are for the Boys, right? Get the original guy to say it again. That would blow it out of the water.
Give him a shirt and he'll punch you in the face, though. That's the only thing. You can see like the no, Saved by the Bell letters.
I'm not tracking that guy fucking down ever. That he guy, can believe that.
He will call you a hard F word in a heartbeat if you run up to him like, I write on the internet, I write this website, and we make these tank tops, and it's called Saturdays for the Boys. He'd be like, shut the fuck up, faggot.
That guy's like, he's like the guy, he like uses a flip phone. He's got like one of those Nextel, like the construction ones. Once you could like, my buddy had one of those like in college, and it would, you know how you would play that game where you drop the keg cap in a cup and you chug it?
Yeah.
And we would do that with his phone because it was like one of those like indestructible, only the foreman has this kind of phones. It'd be like, drop his phone and drinks because that was the push to talk. That's what it was.
You could throw those ones in, you could like throw them as hard as you could against the wall and nothing would happen.
He threw it out of the second floor balcony once, just to fucking prove a point.
Clem, did you have a regular Nextel?
I didn't do Nextel, man. I wasn't a weed dealer. I was not nearly hard enough to be a Nextel guy.
So growing up in Westchester in my like black KFC years, I was all about Nextel. I never had the construction one, but I had like the cool sleek ones. Chirping at chicks with the little bleep bleep was the best, dude. It was I would rock a Nextel right now if I still could.
Well, that was the other thing, is I didn't have any girls to chirp either, so like, there was really no reason for me to have a Nextel.
What'd you say, Fights?
Sidekick was big in the black community.
Yeah, I kind of tapped out there. I think I realized I was white before the Sidekick came to my senses. We'll get into some voicemails in a minute, but first, I want to start with a couple tweets that I got. So we'll defer to the snack god first here. Clem, is this not the stupidest question you've ever heard?
It's the stupidest question I ever heard, and I'm not even going into the whole it's in the cracker aisle next to the wheat thins when, for the poor people that don't use box.com like you should. If it's in a box, it's a cracker. If it's in a crinkly bag, it's a chip. That simple.
That's why I bring Clem in on all snack-related things. I would never have gone down that road. I would have said, like, it's a baked snack that you just, like, I don't even know what I was going to say other than I just know that a Cheez-It is a fucking cracker. Clem comes with the packaging argument and just blows it out of the water. Fights, please tell me you're on board here. You don't think it's a chip, right?
I'm totally on board and I got nothing left to say.
Yeah.
I can't follow that
now,
up. That's a mic drop.
This dude, Puma, his supposed pseudo-argument was that you put stuff on crackers, like you put dip and cheese on crackers, and that the Cheez-It is a standalone thing that you would eat just like a chip. I just don't think that really...
Sure, but... No, that doesn't apply. You just don't have to.
Right, exactly. I don't think that's what defines a cracker versus a chip. All right, second tweet we've got.
Crackers can put things on. You don't have to. I eat plenty of crackers. I eat crackers that are like from the wine and cheese aisle. I'll just eat those by themselves. They have a surface that you can place something on, but I'll just eat it out of the box. No problem.
And
it's a flavored cracker. It's like sour cream and onion chips. You're not going to double sour cream and onion unless you're a fucking maniac.
Right. You can dip chips. You can dip crackers. You can spread it on all sorts of things. That's not really what defines chip versus cracker. So, Puma, get lost. Second cheese-related question here. From my man, what's Cuccio? This guy has been listening to all the podcasts since day one. One cheese for the rest of your entire life. Give it a minute. This is an important question. You got to think about standalone cheese, cheese on pizza, cheese on crackers, all sorts of shit. Clem, again, we'll begin with you. One cheese, rest of your life. Go.
So I've thought about this. It's pretty – so let me just go into a little bit of a spiel here.
Go ahead.
I won't go too long.
Let's do it.
I have always had – I don't know if it's a theory or it's more of just like a thought from having just way too much time in my life. Harry Stamper, if that was real life, the planet Earth would be named after him, right? Like, if that had really happened, if he had saved the world, we rename Earth Stamper or Harry because he saved the Earth. We might as well. That's my whole rambling thought.
Okay.
The opposite of Harry Stamper is the person that would basically – I was thinking this is like eliminate any all cheeses from all humanity except for one. If you eliminate mozzarella, which then eliminates pizza from the world, you are the anti-Harry Stamper, and you are the worst person in the world. So as for that reason, I can live with mozzarella on my burger, on my grilled cheese, on my crackers, on anything else just to save pizza. That's how I think of it. My wife once put cheddar cheese on pizza. So like we did like a homemade pizza. She handled the cheese. She put cheddar on, and to this day, I like still have like a thought like maybe this isn't the right one because she did the cheddar cheese thing. And she to this day is like I just had a brain fart. I'm like, how do you have a brain fart about cheddar cheese on pizza? And to this day, I cannot get over like it's like the one thing I cannot get over in our relationship to this day.
The packaging cracker argument was a 10. And then somehow I asked you a question about cheese, and you brought in Armageddon and possibly divorcing your wife. That is a 20. These food answers that Clem can bring are incredible, dude. Feidelberg, I feel bad for you. I keep setting you up for failure here.
I know. I was going to say mozzarella,
yeah,
but
me too.
What can I do? It's mozzarella. That's the next question. I got no follow up for that.
The only other, maybe you would just go with good old fashioned American. For like your cheeseburger.
No, it's pizza. You can't have, like, it has to be mozzarella on pizza. And, like, yeah, I thought about the cheeseburger thing, but, like, you can't. You can do a mozzarella burger. You can't do an American cheese pizza.
100%. And you can also just eat, like, fresh mozzarella by itself. Like, I can just eat that That's by right. the big ball. And just chow down on that shit. The Polio, like, the brick of Polio that's, like, super salty and all synthetic and manufactured. I'll eat that shit with the wrapper still on it, man. That's, like, a meal in itself. So, final answer is mozzarella because of something to do with Harry Stamper. all right, let's get into these voicemails. Voicemails this week are brought to you by the Books. Listen, you got a girlfriend, you got a wife, maybe even a mom, any female in your life, you know eventually you're gonna put your foot in your mouth, you're going to say something stupid, you're going to do something stupid, and you're going to have to dig yourself out of the doghouse. Now, digging yourself out of the doghouse isn't very easy. You gotta admit when you're wrong. You gotta say you're sorry. You gotta sound remorseful. We're not good at that stuff. So you know what we do? We just buy flowers and just say, here, look at these. They're pretty, and I'm giving them to you. And then women are contractually obligated to say, all right, I forgive you. It's just a beautiful little social contract that we've got going. So that's where the Books can come in. You can order Books, like bouquets of flowers, that are grown on the side of a volcano. They're volcano flowers. It means they're bigger blooms and brighter colors. And prices start at just $40 with no upcharges and no extra fees. And delivery is absolutely free if you register with the Books. Right now, the Books is going to cover one of your screw-ups with free flowers. So email your worst screw-up story to helpmebooks, that's helpmebooks, @gmail.com. So if you've got... You know, you let's say you cheated on your girl. Let's say you said something you shouldn't have said. You got drunk and you were an idiot. You got a story where you put your foot in your mouth and you're in trouble. Order email helpmebooks @gmail.com. And one lucky winner will get a free bouquet covered. For everyone else, go to books.com. Use the promo code KFC and save 20% off the bouquet of your choice. All right, let's do some of these voicemails here. Oh, fuck. Hang on. I got to open up my iTunes. We've restarted this podcast like 30 times because of Skype, if you can't tell. Okay.
I'm going to have to go to books.com, by the way, because my wife listens to this, and she's not going to be
happy. I mean, I don't think – you might just win the contest.
Never. Ah. You know, wow, you just yelled out.
Love it.
So what's the address again? Helpmebooks@gmail.com.
Helpmebooks@gmail.com. Clem, I think, already won the contest, but if you can beat him, go for it. That's good luck with that one. All right, we'll start with this voicemail here. It's related to music, but I think we can rope in a little Pokemon talk. I think we can talk about fights and our ages. It kind of applies to all different things, so let's start it off.
Hey, guys, it's Mike from Chicago. Me and the guys were just talking, and I thought I'd throw it to you guys. When, like, are you too old to just, like, you're done finding new music and you're stuck with it? You know, like, our parents, you know, they all listen. They got the 70s rock. They got all, you know, the oldies stations. Like, what age do you just call it quits? And you're like, you know what, I'm just, this is my music, and I'm just going to keep replaying this shit.
What age do you stop liking new music and just accept that fact? I think it's part of a bigger question. I was talking about it this week on Mail Time. Everyone's been giving me shit this week, calling me the old man yelling at the cloud because I'm hating on Pokemon Go. And my whole point is that that's the way it should be. When you're getting older, when you're on the wrong side of 30, you're married, you were the kid, you shouldn't be liking all those young people things because then you end up looking like Portnoy. So me, people try to throw it at me like it's a knock. I think it's kind of like I wear that like a badge of honor. Music, a little bit different. I've talked about it a lot. Clem, I think you agree with me that a lot of the new rap music doesn't really apply to us. We don't seem to really like it. But like new pop music, I'm always down with. I'm always scouring like new, you know, even like the EDM shit and like this electronic phase. I'm usually down with all that new sort of music. So I don't know. I'm kind of like this hybrid. And then there's Feidelberg, who's playing Pokemon, listening to Future, and, like, not too much younger than us, but still on the other side of that line. So it's an interesting question. Fights, we'll start with you. Have you even encountered a little bit of this yet, where, like, you feel like you don't like a new trend or new music, or, like, have you ever been like, ah, fuck this people, like, fuck the young people, I don't like that?
Not really, no, but that's kind of how I am. Like, I like the goofy things. Like, I like fucking the bad movies and like Fast and Furious and like, I love pop music. That's kind of like even my dad is like a Rolling Stone diehard and like loves his music from when he was younger. But like, when we're in the car on a Sunday or something like that, he's listening to pop. Yeah. Like very often, he'll listen to like AT Top 40 or something like that. Like pop's in my blood, right? So I'm always gonna like the new music. I don't think I'll always have like the music I liked growing up. Which actually, scientifically, it's always gonna be the music you liked at 14 is the music that you're like will always elicit the biggest response from you.
Is that is that a proven thing?
It is. That's why, like,
perfect sense for me.
That's like when I go to the gym, when I used to go to the gym, like, I would listen to, like, Blink because, like, I like pop punk rock was, like, always what I fucked with when I was 14. So that's always like, if you put that shit on, I'll go fucking nuts.
Because you were a 14-year-old idiot bouncing off the walls back then.
Right. But as far as, like, other trends, no. There's music, I feel like I'll always evolve with 100% of the time, but I haven't encountered anything like, well, video games, except for, like, Pokemon's the only game app I've ever had. I've never had, like, another game app. And don't get me, like, a significant portion of my enthusiasm for Pokemon is just the fact, like, for the blog.
Right. I often wonder that, like, if we weren't publicly saying we're playing Pokemon Go, I don't think anybody at Barstool would be.
And also, don't get me wrong on this. I haven't gone walking anywhere for Pokemon. I spent $100, $100 in the store, and I've bought everything.
Wow, Fights. Wow.
I first downloaded it when I was drunk on a Friday night, and Lewis was like, I'll help set you up. And he's like, all right, you want to buy some coins? And I was like, yeah, give me $20 worth of coins. He's like, just get $100. It's the best deal. And I was like drunk. I was like, all right, fuck it. Let's do it. And so I spent $100 on the Pokemon game. And I just, you can lay traps and you can like drop incense and the Pokemon just come to you. So I sit on my couch and I just catch Pokemon there.
All right. Three things. One, that's such a Lewis thing to be able to get you to spend $100 on Pokemon. Like, Lewis is the ultimate snake salesman. Somehow he got that done. Two, maybe it's just two things. I think you just made me like Pokemon Go. Thinking about just being like, all right, come to me, motherfuckers. And then you're showing your friends, like, I caught this one and caught that one, and you never got off the couch? Props to you, Heidelberg.
People last night were like, how did you get a Pikachu in your apartment? I was like, from spending $100 on the game, you bitch. That's how I got it.
Love it. I mean, that changes my whole perception of that entire game. That is hilarious. But video games is a good. I think a lot of people fall off on video games. I think we all love when we're kids.
Like, oh, I was out like after six. I had PlayStation 1. I played that a good amount. PlayStation 2. I've had all the systems. Like, I still have, like I said before, I still have an Xbox One, whatever the new one is, the 360, whatever the newest one is. And, it's exclusively a Netflix player.
Right.
And, like, I buy them just because I'm like, oh, I'll be part of the trend. Because I'm a huge fan of capitalism and the ultimate consumer. So I'm like, oh, a new thing? I'll have it. I never, ever played with them.
Yeah, I think I tapped out of PlayStation 2. So video games is kind of a good example. Clem, I mean, going back to the original music thing, I think that 14-year-old thing that Feidelberg said is spot-on accurate for both of us.
100% checks out. I think there was, like, a designer song on the radio the other day. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Right? Like, I had the fabulous face when designer was, like, I was, like, looking at the radio, like, what the hell? And I said to my wife, I said, did people who were, like, hip-hop fans, like, way back in, like, the 80s, like, when it first started or whatever, in the 70s, like, did they hate the 90s rap? Because I can't even fathom that. But I guess they had – someone had to, right?
This is tale as old as time. This is – we are not the first people to feel this way. I see what you're saying, but, like, I could see an original hip-hop purist listening to, like, Bone Thugs and Harmony and being like, what is this? And we love that shit, you know?
But you had to love Biggie, right? Or was it like, oh, like, I don't like these beats. They put too much on the beats. It's not about the lyrics. Like, I'm sure they had something stupid that they hated.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, this is, you know, that's why I was talking with BC on Mail Time. I'm trying to figure out what's even next, like, with the Pokemon Go crowd. Like, what do the Pokemon Go crowd think is lame? And then I'm going to try to make money off of that shit, because that's the next thing to blow up. Because this is all just so cyclical. Like, you're always going to get old. This is my point. You try to stay young, Feidelberg, you're going to get old. It's just, like, there's going to come a point where, I don't know how or why, you're not going to buy the same clothes, you're not going to like the same movie, eventually, you'll be old.
I don't actively attempt to stay young. I'm just such an easy target for advertising where I kind of just like everything, to be totally honest. Like, I'm sure it's, like, really annoying for people where they're like, take a stand on something. I'm like, well, I like that. I like the old stuff too, but I also like that. Like, I'm just like a pretty easygoing person. I like a lot of stuff. If it's new and it's marketed well, I'm like, yeah, that'd be fucking cool.
Coming from obviously the polar opposite, I'm jealous of that. Like, I think people misconstrue my hate. It's not like I sit around in my apartment all day being like, I hate life, I hate this, I hate that. But when, like, a trend comes up and you ask me my opinion, my inclination is first to be like, nah, fuck that. I don't know why. It's just how I do it. And your first reaction is like, I'll buy that. I'll go see that. I'll go do that.
I'm thinking like drop crotch pants. I'm like, it was really hard for me to have. And I think this is a feature or an ability that a lot of people in our generation have just lost. And I'm the best at it. It's just to be able to be like, that's fine. Like, everyone now has to have such a strong opinion on things.
Yes.
I'm just like, maybe. Like, I'll give it a whirl.
I would absolutely be that way. I was that way before this job. When now it's like, what's your opinion? And you have to take a stand. And there's really no, like, if you go gray with it, if you're not black or white, people, it's like, eh. You know what I mean?
That definitely used to be a hindrance to me. And I used to try and force it, too. Mm. And, like, I can't, like, when I'm not being genuine, it's so apparent, I feel like. And I used to try to be like, oh, I hate this. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't really give a fuck. Like,
see, I'm just – my first inclination is the opposite, where it's like, I don't like that. You have to, like, earn me liking it, I guess. Which sounds, like, super gay and annoying. I'm not, like, on my high horse about it. But my first reaction is, like, nah, I don't like that song. Nah, I don't think I like that movie. It's a terrible way to live. Don't get me wrong. I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying it's the way I am. Clem?
The thing is, too, like, with Pokemon, sometimes I feel like people are just saying they like it. Even if they hate it, they're going to say they like it with some things. It's kind of the opposite with the new Ghostbusters. Everyone hates it. And now the backlash is, if you hate it, you're a sexist pig. Even though Ghostbusters was my favorite movie, and no matter who the other four Ghostbusters were, if they ruined it, I'm going to hate the movie. But it's a catch-22 with the Pokemon. If it wasn't Pokemon, if it was another game that came out and people liked it, I bet a lot of other people would hate it if it didn't have the Pokemon logo on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it's all the Ghostbusters swings. You know, it's like, all right, we all hate it. Well, now too many people hate it, so now it's not cool to hate it. It goes back the other way. So that's always the case with the internet.
Ghostbusters was exactly the thing that made me think of, like, my whole indifferent stance last night. Because I saw someone, like, freaking out about the new Ghostbusters. And I was like, how could you give it, like, I'm not going to see it. So who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, to be mad online, like, how dare they? Like, well, I'm just not going to see the movie, so I don't know if they fucked it up. I don't know if they didn't. Like, I have no interest in seeing that movie, but I'm also not going to be, like, angry that a studio decided to reboot a successful franchise to make money.
Well, and that's the point, too, is, like, with all the hate, it's not like I'm sitting around, like, furious that Pokemon Go is popular. It's not like I really walk around all day, like, God damn it, I hate the world. It's just like, if you ask me my opinion on this and you want me to write a blog on it, I'm going to tell you that I think this stinks, and I'm going to tell you all the video games I like. But the people that actually let it, like, truly affect who they are, I can never understand that. Clem, you're certainly entitled to be like, fuck that Ghostbusters movie, I like the original. I don't think you're furious that Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig are running around, you know.
Exactly. I want to say something else, too, about the video games is I bought a PlayStation 4 because every time Madden comes out, I have to buy whatever the best is. So now I have a PlayStation that I probably fired 5 times to play video games for in the last year. So that sucks. And Pokemon, I always have, like, a confession I make on KFC Radio. I read something on Twitter saying how to get Pikachu. And this is, again, part of the job. Like, you get to, like, now you can kind of, like, do stuff just to make content about it or just be funny about it. And there was actually a way to catch a Pikachu, but you have to, like, log in, don't catch anything. Like, go, like, 200 yards, log in, don't catch anything, go another 200 yards, and then you can get a Pikachu. And I actually thought about driving all that instead of actually walking it. That's where I am as a human being. And I didn't even drive it because I was too lazy, and I just hated myself. So now I hate Pokemon because I hate myself now because of it.
Another way to get it is says spend $100 instead of a bunch of trash.
You just buy it. I'm bored with incense. What are we talking about? Oh, man. I mean, the music thing, to go back to the original, I think you stop liking music when you stop having fun. Kind of. It's like when you hear a song when you're out at the bar and you're partying and you're having fun in your life, you like that song. You're more inclined to associate it with great memories and good times. And as new music comes out and your life gets a little less fun, a little more boring, the hangovers get a lot worse, it kind of gets redundant. The songs don't really stick with you as much. But I also think it's weird that, like, it's almost specific with rap music to me. I love Bieber. I'll listen to new pop songs. That doesn't bother me. I can just enjoy those. I think, like, rap music, I actually think about and listen to, so I hold it to, like, a higher standard, kind of. And the other kind
of... It's probably because that's your favorite. Like, I don't like the new punk rock or, like, the new alt-pop rock or whatever. Like, I like the original. I like my shit.
Right.
And, like, that's just me guessing, but, like, it probably has something to do with, like, that having the biggest place in your heart, so to speak.
1,000%. And you hold it to a higher standard.
I also think that rap takes, like, I feel like it's evolved a lot more than maybe some of the other, like, pop is very similar, I think, to where it was maybe 10, 20 years ago, where rap, it's like, Kanye isn't even, like, the same person anymore, right? At least in my mind, so.
Popular music, it's popular for a reason, because it kind of just, you know, stays in the middle. The last thing I want to say on hate, because I found myself in a whirlwind of hate here this week, and people are getting fired up about it. They say it's a shtick. I'm like, this is not a shtick. This is just what I think. They say that I'm, like, in an old, blah, 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 all this shit. Bottom line is, when I hate on something that you all hate, it's all good. All of a sudden, I hate on something you like, and you're mad online. You can't have it both ways, you know? If you're going to read me for the hate, you got to take the good with the bad. So, quit your crying, basically. Good little discussion there. That was a quality discussion on KFC Radio. So, let's just dive in to some weird stuff here to kind of get back to, let's talk some chicks, because that usually goes off for us.
Hey there, long time Sula here. So I'm 22 and unfortunately still a virgin. At what point should I stop telling myself that I am just waiting for the right time and person and start to see it as others telling me that there won't be a right time with the right person? Yeah, I know this is sad, but I was hoping you could shed a little light and maybe some humor on this for me. Thanks, Viva.
22-year-old virgin, when should she just kind of give up on this virgin thing? And my answer would be, I don't know, about 6 years ago.
I was going to say, like, you made it through college, fucking just lay it out with this one.
You made it through the hard part.
You walked through the fires of hell with dicks just slapping in the face for 4 years. Now it's pretty easy to not get laid. Once you get out of college, you don't have to put in a lot of effort to not fuck.
Now, you're 100, if this is a guy, 100% right. It is never hard for a chick to get laid. Harder, sure. But if you want to stop being a virgin as a chick, you can do that literally within like 10 minutes. Like, find your local bar, point at a guy, you will no longer be a virgin. The idea, the notion that this chick is going to, like, find the right one, though, Clem, well, that's just a bunch of hogwash, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you should be smarter by the age of 22 to now know that that's hogwash. Like, that's part of growing up, is to then, like, it just pisses me off right here. Because they have the option, too. It just gets me so angry. God damn it.
Get her.
Well, it's like, it's so ideological to think that there will be a right one. But usually when you hit, like, 16, you realize, I've met enough guys. None of them are very good.
Right.
But my sample size at this point is quite large. And I've realized that there's no one that's really the first one I want to stick their dick in me. So I guess like you said, Kevin, 6 years ago. Like, usually people at 16 realize, fuck it, let's just go.
Do it.
I guess at 22, I don't know. I think I might just fucking actually wait it out at that point. You might end up 40 and alone.
Here's the thing. The notion that you're going to find the one is completely and utterly ridiculous. Like, if you think about the whole world.
And here's what I'll tell you, too. If you do find the one, that's going to scare.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Great point. Nobody wants to, like, marry the virgin. Nobody wants to, like, really be down with, like, the 28-year-old virgin. So then, like, you're going to blow your shot with the one.
And if he gets into it, then he's a fucking weirdo.
Right.
Then there's really no good that'll come of it. If you're waiting for the one, like, you're going to have with this conversation, like, oh, I'm a virgin. Like, I would be so scared. I'd be like, oh, no. This is done here. This is not going to happen.
Too bizarre.
I did the whole, like, take someone's virginity thing when I lost mine, and it was a disaster. It led to, like, 6 years of feuding and, like, where are each other's ones? And, like, it was a disaster.
Not good.
So you just go get rid of it, I think. Like an abortion. Just go get it taken care of.
Get the monkey off your back. Just get the vacuum, suck it out, and you'll be done with it.
Just that. Get the hymen taken care of. Get it out of there. And then live a normal... And then, like, just... I don't want to say, like, a normal life, because I'm sure this girl's very nice. She's probably lived a rather normal life up until now. But, like, then you can get into, like, a real relationship once it's just out of the way.
Here's my 3 points on this. One, I think it's totally ludicrous that you think you're going to find, like, a soulmate when there's 8 billion people out there. You're going to run into them at the bar. You're going to be set up. A friend of a friend is going to happen to find, like, the perfect guy for you. No. So you find one that you like. You settle on a few aspects. You like a few aspects over here. And you fuck that person. And you marry that person. And you have some kids with that person. And you just make the best of life. Two, the fact that people are still putting, like, emphasis on being a virgin, like, that's a thing still, is crazy. It's like, you think you're better because a dick hasn't gone in between your legs? What? That's not a thing. Come on. 2016. Third, eventually, at some point, especially for guys and even for girls, you will have a feeling of, like, I can't believe I've only had sex with one person. So you find the one, and you marry him, and your years go by, and you think you're happy, and at some point you're going to be like, I never really lived, and you're going to grow to resent it. So everything points to, like, sleep around a little bit. Don't be a super slut, but sleep around a little bit. Don't put any emphasis or any extra weight on being a virgin. That's my piece, Clem.
Don't put the penis on pet. That's first.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm trying to figure out a way to say it without sounding like an idiot or a hardo or anything like that. My wife and I, we have a very good relationship, right? People say that as a couple, we're a good couple, all right? I wouldn't say we're the perfect couple. There's no such thing as a perfect couple. We're among our friends, we're like the closest thing to like finding the right one. And there's a lot of concessions we both made along the way. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man.
I think you make you like Feidelberg always says, you mold the person until they don't want to be with you anymore, or then they start acting like themselves, or you find a common ground that you become like the right couple instead of the right one. If I'm being like too deep, I apologize, but that's kind of the best way I could say it.
Two things, Mrs. Clem. I hope you're still listening because Mr. Clem's in so much trouble. Two, like that's exactly the point. What you just said there, Clem, is a roundabout grand way of saying like you kind of settle. It sounds terrible, but, like, you kind of do. You're never going to find one person that's, like, awesome in every aspect. So you're going to be like, that annoys me, but this is okay. That's really lame. This is good. And then you fucking marry that person.
Bro, like, we were raised on fucking, I wanted to fuck Barbie and girls wanted to fuck Prince Charming. Like, no shit we're going to settle. Our ideas of what, like, the perfect person is are so preposterous that in your mind, if you haven't been with or slept with or dated enough ones to realize that there's never going to be a right one. Like, you date five ones and you're like, oh, yeah, there is no such thing as the right one. They're all going to have pretty glaring issues that I'm going to have to just deal with. And that's going to be it.
100,000%. You can't be the one if you found 10 of them. That means there's tens, not ones. It's crazy. So, long story short, babe, go have some sex. Enjoy yourself. Another female stoolie here. This should get interesting.
Hey guys, so kind of a weird situation here, but I'm a landlord and I manage a property of like 308 apartments, and not to be like a hardo, but I have a resident here who blatantly wants to fuck me, like literally comes into my office and tells the maintenance guys that he's trying to fuck me in front of other residents, like all this kind of stuff. So I live at the property too, and it's getting to a point where like I'm walking my dog and he like comes up to me in the street like, oh, he's gonna give me a present, he's gonna be out there in his tidy whities, like all this kind of stuff. So this dude's like in his 40s and I just turned 26, so I mean, he's not a bad looking dude, but I'm definitely not trying to go down that road. So the only issue with this is that I live on the property, like I said, and I used to hook up with another resident who used to live here, and he knows that, just seeing me around. So I can't really use the, oh, I can't fraternize with residents thing, because he knows that I can. So, like, how the fuck do I get the message across? Because I...
All right, we got ourselves a doozy here. Female landlord has basically what sounds like a full-blown stalker. I mean, when a guy's telling you, I'm going to be out in the street in my tighty-whities and I'm going to give you a present, that's, you know, you've gone way beyond, like, hitting on a girl and, like, trying to get laid. You're
the tighty-whities is a savage move. Savage. Like, just being outside in your motherfucking tighty-whities?
Some Walter White shit, man.
Yo, I don't like to be seen in my own mirror if I'm wearing tighty whities. This dude's just fucking walking the dog in his hands.
How impractical are tighty whities? Like, they're tight around your thigh, and then they, like, bulge out around your ass and your dick, and the fly is like that. You gotta, like, snake into the fly. Whoever invented those, like, the first crack at underwear by humankind failed miserably. Terrible, terrible, before we had to evolve to the boxers.
It's like the company that didn't wear a mask. You're like, how did you not wear a mask? And they're like, fucking idiot. Like, what are you thinking? Like, that's the same thing with Betty Wood.
So, that's the first thing. That dude is, like, ultra creep. She's already fucked one of her other residents. Probably not a good idea. The reason you don't fuck your residents is to go down roads like this. But now she needs an excuse to tell this other guy, like, lay off. Aside from, like, just calling the police and being like, this guy is going to, like, kidnap me.
That's probably my number one. If we're being honest, 911 was going to be my first check.
This is a horror movie that just started.
Yes. the last time I was taken aback like this, and it's not on the same level, but I'm just comparing it, was the guy who had the sex doll in the closet. And it was like, you know, the girl was kind of like, I don't know, is this a problem? And we were all like, yes, run, get help from the authorities. This is right on the edge there. Like, these are going to be, this is going to be the situation where, God forbid something bad happens, everyone's going to be like, well, we saw the red flags on KFC Radio when he said he was going to be in your tidy whities, like out in the street, trying to give you a present. So be careful, girl.
This is the double-edged sword. Like, we were just talking about, though. We're like, look, if you want to lose your virginity, just walk outside, say what up to a dude in a bar. Be like, yeah, you might walk outside, you might be able to say what up to a handsome guy in a bar. There's some dude with tidy whities just following behind you, chugging his dick. That's like yeah, I can go get a handsome guy if I want. I also have this fucking psycho behind me just following me everywhere I go.
Well, yeah, if you're going to go out and just try to lose your virginity, it can't be someone you're ever going to see again. And it certainly can't be someone in the complex of apartments that you run. But you're right. It's so much easier for a guy to just go out there and get some strange and not worry about the aftermath. Whereas girls will just find themselves with a stalker.
No, I was just referring to the fact that like, people stalk them. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing. People stalk and rape women. That's crazy.
Right, but yeah. And the point being that, like, no one's ever going to stalk me, John. There's never going to be a one-night stand where some chick becomes obsessed with Kevin Clancy and is, like, hanging outside his apartment. With chicks, that happens all the fucking time. So, yes, you do have to be much more careful. This, you know what this chick has to do? She's got to do some, like, Frank Underwood, Walter White, Gus Fring sort of shit, some mastermind manipulation, and get him kicked out. He's got to get evicted. You got to go in there and plant some drugs or, like, a dead fucking body of an animal or something and be like, you violated these rules, you're out. And then, gone. Problem gone. Although, then he's probably really going to kill him.
I was just saying, and then they deal with the escalation. And then it's like, oh, wait, now this guy wants to really murder you instead of just have sex with you, then murder you.
Well, then, okay, so he's got to go to jail.
Yeah, you got to get him arrested. No half measure.
You know what? Poison him with ricin. Just go poison him and kill him, and then your problem's gone. I mean, there really is no easy answer when you're dealing with crazy on this level, but I would certainly say, like, it almost sounds to me like she's kind of flirting with the idea. Like, definitely don't fuck this guy.
Oh, I didn't get that idea.
I mean, she said, I don't want to go down this road, but I feel like if you really just, she would just shut this guy down, I feel like. Like, yo, no, it's not happening.
If she's still close, I don't know why I'm asking this question out loud, as you know the answer, but if you're still close with the guy that you had sex with already, just get him to be like, yeah, we're dating.
Yeah.
Like, just say it. You know, you don't have to do it, but like, yeah, we're dating. You know, now I have a relationship, leave me to fuck along.
That's a tall order for that guy.
I don't like that.
Imagine the scenario. Your landlord knocks on your door and says, there's this crazy person stalking me. I need you to be like, I need you to stand up for me and say you're the boyfriend. I've done that before.
I haven't done it since college, but I've done it in college with like girls where it's like, oh yeah, like I'm dating her now.
What, for like a guy who's hitting on her at the bar? As opposed to someone stalking her in an apartment complex that you all live in?
I think, well, we made the joke about stalking. He was walking your dog in the, like, I don't think he's actually stalking. Well, I guess he's trying to work.
I think he's
borderline. Yeah, he's kind of stalking.
I don't think he's a stalker at the moment. I think he will stalk this chick.
I think if you're close with the guy, like if I was close with a girl and she was like, yo, this guy's crazy, can you help me out? I'd be like, yeah, like, whoa. Whatever you need, if you're still close to the guy. Clem's like, nah, I'm out.
Clem, yeah, who says chivalry's dead? Me and Clem say chivalry's dead. Fuck that.
Oh, you know who's dead? That guy's dead. The guy she had sex with, I've seen this horror movie 1,000 times. He gets killed because the guy knows they had sex, and he's dead. So it's like, if he wants to help her out, he's just expediting his own death to a quicker point. He's a dead person right now, in my mind. This is all... You have to kill this guy. You have to kill this guy.
Again, to just keep with the Walter White theme, call the vacuum repairman, get a new identity, and skip town. Forget about your landlord job, forget about this guy, and just disappear. Because there's no other way you're going to get around this guy.
Do you think if she gets another job somewhere, like she landlords somewhere else, like leaves her life behind, he'll leave her? I think he'll show up at her door. I feel like he's going to show up at her door no matter what.
You may never be able to shake this guy. That may be the honest truth. But that is a good idea. Get out there. Make as much money as you can. Go over to BetDSI. Put that money on a huge wager. Double up, triple up. Make that money and disappear, girl. BetDSI.com has lines on every major sport. from baseball and basketball, football, all the major sports to golf to UFC. They're going to have betting on the Olympics, the presidential race, Trump versus Clinton. What else do they got? Reality TV shows. I mean, you can make money on at BetDSI.com in any way, shape, or form. So let's say you got a stalker and you need to skip town. Who do you think is going to win? Trump? Hillary? Place a bet. It's red or black roulette. Throw your life savings on it. Double that up and get the hell out of town. Right now, you can start with a $10 free play if you use my promo code Barstool10. That's Barstool10. So go to BetDSI.com, Barstool10, get your $10 free play, and get away from your stalker. Clem, we got a little Doc and Daryl 30 for 30 that's on tonight, and we got a voicemail here about that.
What's up, guys? I have a question about this upcoming 30 for 30. You can see that on ESPN now, with all the stuff about, you know, the Doc and Daryl. I thought it was around KFC's alley. So, and they have a few guys too. So what I want to ask is, if that was still, like, okay now, like, you know, athletes doing, like, drugs, hardcore drugs, whatever, who would be the two athletes, like, I mean, two MLB stars, pitcher, position player, right now, this era, this year, who would be those likely to be doing railing code, doing drugs, staying out all night, like, right now? Who would be that? Or who would be the most, like, craziest, I probably do think, like, who would you not expect to do that, but might actually do?
So, let's talk about some modern-day Doc and Daryl situations. Obviously, me and Clem know it. I mean, fights, even everybody knows this, right? You don't have to be a Mets fan to understand what happened to Doc Good and Daryl Strawberry. But even as we all think about it and know it, I don't think people really appreciate how much those guys flushed it down the toilet. Like, two dudes who had the potential to be, like, the best of all time at what they did. And on the same team and at the same time threw it all away. If that were to happen right now, it would be fucking bananas. And I'm trying to come up with a baseball duo. Like, the first one that came to mind was Strasburg and Bryce Harper. Imagine both of those guys throw it all down the toilet right now. And I don't even think that does it justice. I mean, Strasburg's great. I don't think he's even close to the Doc Gooden level. If Steph Curry and Klay Thompson all of a sudden became, like, drug addict womanizers that went to jail. If LeBron and Kyrie did it. If, you know, Brady and fucking Amendola, I don't know, whoever, Brady and Gronk did it. It was that major of a duo that both, and it's such a Mets thing. It's like, you know, they should have won like four World Series. They squeaked out one, and they both go on to win a bunch with the fucking Yankees. Just a nightmare scenario all around. Fights, what do you got on a modern day Doc and Daryl situation?
I don't know, off the top of my head, Johnny Manziel and Josh Gordon.
See, yes, but like Johnny Manziel was never going to be anything. But
yeah,
that is a good comparison as far as if we're talking about just a duo who's going to get out there and party and throw it all away. There you go.
I feel like they could have given Doc and Daryl room for their money back in the '80s.
Right. I mean, that is a serious tag team right there as far as reckless behavior and drug use. No doubt about it.
I mean, it was, yeah, Johnny Manziel wasn't supposed to be great, but he was the first round pick.
Right. I mean, he was supposed to be
like, and he started, what, 9 games in his career?
Right.
Never did anything? Like, that's pretty up there. Johnny Manziel's kind of the poster child for flushing away. And Josh Gordon to a lesser extent, because you feel so bad for him, because it was just weed. And it's like, he hasn't failed a test since like 2014, but he's still not fucking reinstated. But I think those two, that's a pretty solid one.
Yeah. Not exactly a hypothetical. It's a real-life answer there for you. Clem, you got a duo?
I mean, I think the first guy I thought of was Bryce, just because he's like that dude. And he would have been he'd be pretty awesome on cocaine. He's kind of like reserved now, you know? He would have been a lot. I like Bryce Harper. I think we all like Bryce Harper, right? Like,
well,
even though we see him as Mets fans, like, when he kills us, I respect the flow. I respect the bombs. I respect him kind of not giving a fuck. I'm also just had this picture of Gronk being on cocaine that I can't shake ever since you said Gronk on cocaine. That would have been awesome.
I don't think he's ever done it. He doesn't need to. Like, he's just seeming cocaine.
Naturally always high on cocaine, Gronkowski. Mm. It's just in their blood already. It's already in their bloodstream. For me, though, it really is like, it would be like if Syndergaard if Cespedes was like a Mets farm guy and Syndergaard and Cespedes both threw it away, I can't even imagine what it was like in the 80s when you thought you had, what do you got?
I got one. Jose Fernandez and Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be. Two, like, that's those guys are probably both.
And it's in Miami. Miami.
And it's, yeah. That might happen. That could possibly happen. all right, a little sports there. Let's talk about having a foursome, since we all have so much experience with that.
Hey, KFC Radio, this is the first time calling in. I was just listening to an episode about you guys talking about a threesome and how watching someone else have sex with another guy. And I actually, my freshman year of college, had a foursome.
Oh.
And we switched back and forth a few times with the girls. And after the first time we switched, my buddy, I watched him as soon as she got away from me and by him. He went down on her for about 30 seconds.
Oh, Jesus.
So technically he kind of like sucked my dick.
Okay, all right.
What do you guys think about that?
You know, sometimes I often screen the voicemails. This time I didn't. It just said switching girls in a foursome. I didn't think it was going to go that graphic. I mean, who in their right mind would do that in the middle of an orgy? Go down on someone after everyone's swapping everything? That's a little fucking crazy. Feidelberg, don't.
No. I'm not saying I didn't really hear the question. I thought you cut it off because I thought he turned it into a joke and said he started blowing his friend.
No, he basically said that his friend went down on the chick in this foursome after he was in there. Yeah, right, exactly. So I thought it was going to be like, you know, how do you pick which one you're going to have sex with, and what if one's better than the other, what if you're not as good as the buddy? That's what I thought we were going to talk about. That's what I would be worried about. If me and Feidelberg had a foursome with two other chicks, I'd be like, meh, Feidelberg's probably going to put that dick down better than I am. Then I'm going to get all self-conscious, and then when we swap, she's going to be like, I want to go back to John. And the other, you know, it's just like, no, I can't take that pressure.
I had two buddies who, one time they went to have a threesome with a chick, but she didn't want to fuck, so she just wanted to get eaten out while she made out with the other one, and then they switched. So I always make fun of them that they made out, but not knowing dick had been in there.
Yo, that's still crazy.
It's still super crazy.
But shout out to that chick. That's a bad bitch right there. Like, no. I just want to kiss, and you're going to go down on me. That's what's up. That's a power bitch. That's like a Beyonce move, man.
Yeah, I was just Rihanna. Rihanna probably pulled that move multiple times. She's just not in the mood to get dick. She's just like, got it. And make out? She wasn't even sucking dick?
That's it.
Didn't suck dick or anything. It was one made out, the other ate her out, and then they switched. It might even switch a couple of times. But I always bust their balls for that. But even that, I still think just like your buddy's spit not being down there is a lot different than your buddy's dick being in there.
The spit's pretty gross too, though, man. Like,
hey, I'm not defending it. I think it's horrible, but I think your dick is worse. Like, porn stars don't even do that. Like, if you watch like a gangbang, like, once the dick's been in, porn stars aren't even like, all right, I'm out on that. Yeah. Those guys will have each other's cum all over each other by the end of it, but like, they still draw the line at the whole eating out a pussy that someone else's dick was just.
I would imagine if you're in the middle of a foursome, you're not in the exact right frame of mind. But I feel like no matter what, I'd be like, nope, not going to do that. Like, that thought ran through my head, and I had enough wherewithal to be like, nah, there's been a dick in there, so I'm out on
it. Yeah, like, once the blowjob part's done, there's no more kissing going on. Like, it's the mouths start closing up once dicks start getting exchanged.
I will say this guy
closes out like, when the dicks start getting exchanged. Put that on a fucking bumper sticker.
I will say this guy does have like shit on his boy now. Be like, you ate a chick out to suck my dick, to take my dick.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of it's a bad move. Like, if you've had like a foursome, I feel like you're pretty cool. That's a cool thing to say, and then you went and ruined it. Now you can get made fun of, even though you're the dude who had a foursome. It takes a lot to screw that up. You know what I mean? So, long story short, if you're ever in a foursome, definitely don't go down on a girl after another dude's been in there. Cue the more you know star coming across the sky. All right, one more voicemail today. The last one of the day is brought to you by Weebly. You got a great idea? You want to sell a product? You want to put your music, your art, your fashion out there? Whatever it is, your jokes, doesn't matter. You know you're going to need a website. Building a website's not easy, right? Well, with Weebly, it is. Go to Weebly.com/KFC. And you don't have to know how to code anything. You don't have to know how to do HTML. You don't have to know how to design anything or have artsy experience. There's a million templates to choose from, and then you just drag and drop whatever you want. I made a Weebly website not too long ago for a little birthday thing for my wife. I was able to put a video in there, a picture of her and Shay, put some text in there. She loved it. So you can customize it, update it, change your site anytime. No big deal. That's Weebly.com/KFC, Weebly.com/KFC. Last question. Let me find a good one. Let's talk about this Australian guy.
Hey, what's up, KFC? It's George calling. First time, long time, wrong.
That's a full-blown Australian accent. I love it. Let's start it over. Let's go. Let's go, George.
Hey, what's up?
That's the best.
Wait, what was that?
I feel like that's a big voice, like the guy who keeps calling Dave Show with the fucking southern voice.
Let's see. What? It could, maybe it's the same exact guy. Who knows?
Hey, what's up, KFC? It's George calling. First time, long time from Sydney, Australia. The reason I was calling, I was just having a chat with my girlfriend. She's got this guy who she's in, like, a professional relationship with, meaning they're trying to do, like, partnerships together with their business and stuff. Look, anyway, we sat down and had a beer tonight, and I was kind of talking to her and sort of saying, like, guys and girls can't be friends. Like, it just doesn't happen. I really think this guy wants to, like, fuck her. I don't really know. I'm not threatened by him at all. Don't get me wrong.
Sounds like you are a little bit. First of all, what's the verdict? A real Australian guy or a fake Australian guy?
Oh, real.
Yeah, it's a real. Okay. That's the real deal. We're overseas, baby. This guy, you know, his girl has a professional, what do they call it, a work husband, professional partner. He thinks he wants to bang her because he probably does. And, I think it's completely normal to think that. I think you have to, like, temper how much you're actually threatened by it. It really all comes down to whether or not you think your girl wants to fuck him back, right?
Yes.
Because every guy that your girl comes across, you can rest assured he has at least thought about having sex with her or wants to have sex with her. And you can't hold that against him. You can't hold that against the guy because you do the same thing. So that's just kind of the way we operate. It's really up to girls to not bang all of us. And that's really how the world and the universe stays in balance, by them saying no. They are very good at it. They're too good at it. It's like, you can fuck a little bit more of us. Don't worry. But yeah, I think it all comes down to the girl, right, Fights?
Oh, it's 100% on her. And it's the jealousy that you're going to feel sucks. But I don't know, there's really nothing you can do. Like, you just have to wear it. It's just, there's absolutely nothing you can do.
She's
you
not,
have to just, like,
getting a new job. And even if she does, there'll be another dude there who probably wants to bang her. It's just a product of the way the world works, right, Clint?
I'm trying to figure out this exact. So how does this setup go? I was just listening to his voice the whole time. I wasn't figuring out the exact setup here.
She's working with this guy who wants to fuck her. Long story short.
She's working with the fucker, and what does he do about it?
Yeah, just like, I actually cut him off at the very end. Let's see exactly what his, like, final question was.
But I'm just, like, trying to tell her not to be so naive. He's sending her, like, funny pictures and, like, all this other shit over different mediums. And yeah, she thinks I'm nuts. I don't think I'm nuts. I think she's being a bit naive. And also, they haven't really done a partnership yet, professionally, which I think is kind of interesting. Anyway, I just wanted to get, no guys.
Yeah, okay, so that's a different story. Like, it's a tough conversation to have, and you don't want to come across as, like, the jealous weirdo. But if it gets to a point where you're really afraid that this dude's going to, like, start hitting on her or, like, make a move, you might want to just be like, yo, just a heads up. That guy's probably into you. And if your girl doesn't think that, then she is being naive. That's annoying.
That's what I was just going to say. When we got to that part, then it clicked. I was like, that's so fucking annoying. We're like, I was in a long distance relationship in college. And there was like this guy, yeah, my friend from class. And then I was like, oh, after like 2 weeks, I was like, oh, he wants to fuck you. She's like, no, we're just friends. And girl, just acknowledge it. Be like, yeah, I know he does, but I'm not going to.
Right.
That's all you have to say. That's it.
I'm sure it's probably weird. You don't, as a guy, you don't want to come across as like jealous and insecure. And as a girl, you probably don't want to come across as like overconfident. Like, yeah, he wants to fuck me. But this is the reality. This is the truth of it all. So you got to be on the same page, because if your girl really is rolling into work being like, nah, there's nothing here, Like, yes, there is. That guy is going to try to make a move or go after you or whatever. So, I don't know. But, like, Clem, would you, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to be like, yo, wife, sit down, listen to me. Like, that guy's bad news and you shouldn't, like, hang out with him because he wants to fuck you. Because then you sound like the idiot, kind of.
It's one of those things where you have, it depends how obvious it is to you. Like, if you have to just be, take yourself out of the moment there. Is this just a guy who's just a, you know, coworker that is friendly with her? Or if he truly wants to fuck her? And that, the problem is, like Fight said, if a girl tells you, like, oh, that, if, like, your wife says, oh, that girl likes you, you'll listen to her. Because she'll give you all the telltale signs. If for some reason it does not translate when we say the same to them, even if we're not being jealous at all. It's a very weird thing.
It is.
Thing is, I still get mad when I watch, like, Jeff or when Kelly goes on a date with her ex-boyfriend and Saved by the Bell. I still am like, fuck Kelly. Fuck Jesse. Fuck them both. Like, I still get angry at that episode.
Absolutely.
So I might not be the... Yeah, right. So I may not be the best person, but this guy also, like you said, he also has to understand that, like, if you have a good-looking girlfriend, that comes along with the girlfriend.
It's part of the territory. I mean, it's, like, one thing to be, like, that guy probably has looked at her at work and been like, I want to have sex with her. I guess it's another thing if you really think he's going to, like, at a work happy hour when a few drinks are around, he's going to get, like, handsy with her or something. If that's the case, you really got to, like, break it down for her. Otherwise, if you think it's just a dude who's probably, like, you know, hanging around her, but your wife's really never going to go for it or anything like that, I don't think you bring it up because then I do think you sound like the jealous idiot.
There's probably like an equation, like how good looking he is plus how he acts towards her equals like Jersey Tower.
Yes.
If he's good looking, you should probably. Because you know, if she gets mad, she's just going to sleep with him anyway. It was bound to happen sooner or later, right? So it's all part of the equation.
Okay, so I like that. So we're going to wrap up 176 right now. I want some KFC radio listener to come up with this equation, make it out of a scale of 10 or 100 or something. It's going to be like, how good looking he is, plus like how much he parties, plus what his like background is, plus how hot your wife is, how much money he has. If it reaches this certain number, you got to sit her down and be like, yo, stay away from that guy, he's bad news. So I want the mathematicians and the scientist stoolies to get together, figure that shit out. 176 in the books. Feitelberg, any last words?
No.
Just, you just like everything. No last words. No big deal. Saturdays are for the boys. My life's gravy. No, nothing's really on my brain at any given moment because I'm just kind of hanging out, enjoying life. Son of a bitch.
You ain't nailing the heck out. I'm in a pink shirt right now. Life's good.
Living the dream. Except for the fight.
It's raining outside. Like I have to go get lunch now. And I'm like kind of pissed.
I bet you're even like, you know what? It's kind of nice, the rain. It, like, cooled off everything, so I like it.
I hope Feitelberg's, like, 45-year-old landlord guy is outside and is a tidy white and be like, hey, John, how you doing? And he ruins his whole summer for John.
That's the only thing that could ruin it, John. I hope
that would ruin my fucking summer, too. Like, what up, man?
All right, that's it. Peace.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feitelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.